This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 1927, President Calvin Coolidge signed a bill into law creating the Federal Radio Commission. Before that time, anyone who applied for a broadcasting license could get one. So as the number of stations grew, so did competition and crowding on the airwaves. 7 short years later, the 5-person FRC was abolished, and broadcasting authority was handed over to the Federal Communications Commission we know today. Almost 90 years later, one man is arguing to revive the FRC, not for regulating radio, but robotics. Ryan Kahlo is assistant professor at the University of Washington School of Law and former research director at Stanford Center for Internet and Society. He recently authored a paper called The Case for a Federal Robotics Commission, and it was published by the Brookings Institution. Ryan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ryan, this sort of idea, on the face of it, sounds a little silly. Do people take it seriously?
Yeah, I mean, I think people have been taking it quite seriously, serious enough, in fact, to criticize it extensively. And I think that it's interesting, when I first started doing robotics law a few years ago, I would go to give a talk or I'd talk about my work, and people would sort of react and be like, "You're working on robotics law, you must be thinking about Isaac Asimov or the three laws of robotics," and maybe with a little chuckle. But today we recognize that robotics is increasingly a part of our lives, and we've seen the law already begin to react to it. And so a proposal like this is taken, I think, as it should, on its merits.
So why an agency? Why not have existing agencies pick up some of the jurisdiction? Healthcare robots could be dealt with by the FDA or HHS, or the Highway Traffic Safety Administration might deal with self-driving cars, for example.
Well, that's exactly how it's being done today. So, of course, the Federal Aviation Administration deals with drones and et cetera. The Securities and Exchange Commission deals with high-speed trading algorithms. I'm not saying that these particular agencies should not be handling the robotics and artificial applications that they already do. Rather, I'm proposing that in order for the agencies to accrue expertise faster, that they'd have a body that was a central repository for expertise. So the idea would be that the FAA would continue to regulate drones, but when it had an issue that came up, for instance, certifying whether the sense and avoid technology in the drone were safe enough, it would have a trusted, impartial repository of expertise that it could go to for help.
What sort of hypothetical issues can you imagine now that would be difficult to address without a robotics commission?
Well, I mentioned in the paper a few years ago the notion of sudden acceleration and the question of whether or not that was a software glitch that caused Toyotas to suddenly accelerate. And Congress asked the Department of Transportation to figure it out, and it couldn't. And it had to recruit NASA. It had to went to NASA and say, "Hey, would you mind taking a break from putting, robots on Mars or repairing a space station to look at this Toyota for us?" And that's fine to do every once in a while. But as more and more activities become a function of software and hardware, you're not going to be able to turn to something like NASA each time. And so in the paper, I go through a bunch of, not hypothetical, but actual problems we're experiencing today where the relevant agencies are not making much traction. One of them involves, from your wonderful intro, the Federal Communications Commission. It's trying to figure out how to get smarter radios that can hop between frequencies and change their power. It's been trying to do that for 10 years. Everybody agrees it's a good idea. It's more efficient to have smarter radios, but no one can figure out how to do it in a way that's safe and palatable. And that's partly because they just don't have the expertise to assess it. Another example I mentioned was, one of the really important things with drones is going to be if they're going to fly autonomously, like for instance to do delivery of goods at your house as Google and Amazon plan to do. If you're going to have autonomous drones, they're going to need to be able to sense and avoid one another, and someone's going to have to certify whether that technology is working. Right now, the FAA, in my view, just doesn't seem to have the understanding of the technology to let it proceed easily. And so as a consequence, they're saying no autonomy at all. And so these are the sorts of puzzles that I think that a Federal Robotics Commission could help with.
And tying both of those together, the idea of self-guided drones and cars that accelerate by themselves, the idea of driverless cars, how will those be regulated? Or what sort of questions might come up that the FRC might address?
Well, right. So when Nevada first, Nevada was a real pioneer here. And in fact, the states have been taking the lead on driverless cars. And I think that's very appropriate. You know, historically, licensing cars and so forth has been a state-by-state power. And so they wrote the first driverless car legislation. But when they did so, they really didn't have anybody to ask about it. I mean, they had Google telling them what they thought was the right approach, and that's one company with a particular implementation, but they didn't really have anybody to turn to. That would have been a great instance for them to be able to turn to the Federal Robotics Commission. One of the things they might have avoided, for instance, is a definition of artificial intelligence that just didn't work. And if you look at the state of Nevada, they passed a law defining artificial intelligence, and because it didn't work, they ended up having to repeal that law soon thereafter and then pass a new definition. And those sorts of things, I think, would be avoided if you had non-industry, trusted government expert body in order to weigh in on these issues.
We're speaking with Ryan Kalo. He's a law professor who argues that America needs a new federal agency for coping with questions related to robotics and their increasing role in our everyday lives. His paper, The Case for a Federal Robotics Commission, was published by the Brookings Institution. Okay, so imagine what this would look like. How big would it be? Who might it employ?
Well, I think it would be small at first. I think it would employ a group of PhDs trained in the relevant areas. And when I say the relevant areas, I mean we would have to isolate the specific kinds of interesting issues, difficult issues that robotics raises. So that would be people who are electrical engineers, computer scientists, people working on human-robot interaction. And they would be available, much in the same way as the Congressional Research Service is available to answer Congress's questions, they would be available to work on these issues. When they weren't being asked directly by, say, an agency, they didn't have a particular problem that they were parachuting in to help with, they would generate knowledge. They would do research. They would talk to stakeholders. They would have a role, I think, in channeling funding to the appropriate places and so forth. You know, there would be a low, hopefully very low-level amount of bureaucracy. But you're talking about not a lot of people. You're talking about fewer than 100 people, most of whom were trained experts in areas of relevance to robotics.
You've mentioned that your paper has been taken seriously enough to be criticized. What are some of the criticisms of your proposal?
So far, some of the most sort of, I think, interesting and fair criticisms of the proposal have been, number one, is it really just going to be an advisory capacity? Doesn't the history of government show that something like this is going to morph into a more regulatory body and it would be inappropriate to have top-down regulation of this technology? That's one, I think, very fair concern that people have voiced. Another has to do with Is robotics really distinct enough from its previous and constituent technologies, like computers and the Internet, that it deserves separate treatment? I mean, these points are well taken. I try to address them in the paper. But, I feel like I've already succeeded at one level because the whole point of this thought experiment is to get people thinking about the right legal and policy infrastructure of robotics. And I've offered the idea of a federal robotics commission, but other people have offered the idea of principles or the idea of specific laws or other, a global think tank was an interesting idea I've heard, or, the Robo-Law project in Europe is coming out with a comprehensive set of principles based on case studies that they did. So there's all kinds of different options. I think the only really poor option here, Virginia, is not to do anything. I think not doing anything, especially in the United States, will lead to poor policy outcomes, and maybe we won't realize the benefit of this technology.
So you're talking about need for a federal robotics agency, but, we don't have a federal Internet Commission. I think all of that, or most of it, is handled by the FCC. Isn't there a stronger case to be made that there should be a way to advocate for, to initiate policy, and to interface with states on Internet law?
Well, I mean, you hear the claim from time to time that that there should be heavier regulation of the Internet. I don't agree with that. I think that what happened with the Internet was a pretty interesting and unique thing. It wasn't that it was not governed. There are things like ICANN and the technical bodies that govern the Internet that actually do get together and set the protocols that determine the Internet. They do so at a global level. That's because the Internet is, of course, intrinsically global in a way that robotics is not, in a sense. But I will point out that the health of the internet has been a product of laws. And there are people who say, oh, we should have been, you know, we should be hands off of the internet. Well, Congress passed a very important law around the internet in the mid-90s called Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which immunized platforms like Facebook for what users do on those platforms. We also passed rules for what to do about copyright on the internet. And these two kinds of regulations, along with these governance bodies that I mentioned, and also until recently, some at least understandings or norms around net neutrality, not allowing ISPs and networks to control what happens on those networks overly, have been crucial to the internet becoming the commercial and political and cultural force that it is today. So the idea that, you know, we didn't do anything with the internet, we shouldn't do anything with robotics, that's historically obviously false. And I'm hoping that the Federal Communications Commission will listen to the overwhelming will of the people and give us some solid net neutrality rules going forward. But other than that, I think that we're in a pretty good place when it comes to the internet. And I think that we had the technical and legal expertise in place because of some early interventions and because these governance bodies occurred.
Ryan Calo, Assistant Professor of Law at the University of Washington, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ryan's also a former research director at Stanford Center for Internet and Society and authored the paper, The Case for a Federal Robotics Commission. It was published by the Brookings Institution, and you'll find a link to read it at wordofmouthradio.org. While lawyers and academics work out the regulatory demands of robots, there's one android in development that New Englanders would welcome, a robot that can rid your yard of ticks. Scientists at the Virginia Military Institute are working on such a robot that could help reduce the risk of tick-borne illnesses. Kelly Libby has the story.
Meet the Tick Rover. It's a robot that looks like a toy remote-controlled truck. David Livingston is on the team that invented this mini exterminator. He's a professor of electrical and computer engineering at Virginia Military Institute.
We designed it to be robust in the areas with logs and sticks and pine cones and that type of thing so that it won't be stopped by minor obstacles. It'll just, you know, roll over them.
If you hate ticks, you might appreciate what this little four-wheeled machine can do. It's capable of killing most, if not all, of the ticks in a whole backyard. And how do you do that? By giving ticks what they love, our breath. Sullivan and his colleagues have figured out a way to lure the ticks using a tube with holes punched in it that releases carbon dioxide. To the ticks, that CO2 release is essentially a big, glorious, intoxicating human exhalation. The rover then rolls along the tube, picking up the lovesick ticks using something else ticks love, your jeans. The machine is outfitted with what's essentially a denim skirt. The rover drags a piece of fabric behind it, and the ticks crawl on. The fabric is laced with a poison that enters the ticks' bodies through their feet, and they die. So if all goes well in trials, will this mean the end of ticks? Holly Gaff says no.
I don't think we should ever try to eliminate ticks. They're certainly a huge part of the ecosystem.
She's the rover team's tick expert and an associate professor of biological sciences at Old Dominion University.
They do serve as a prey source for a lot of other animals. So if you start saying, well, let's eliminate all ticks, well, you'd eliminate a lot of those birds that may rely on that for a lot of their food source. And so ecologically, it's not a good idea.
But that's the nice thing about the rover. It targets a small area. The area of your yard where ticks live.
We will give them the woods, but we're not giving them our yard. We will give them, you know, the deep woods there, but not the paths along that we want kids to be able to play in.
They're still testing the product, but your honey-do list of leaf blowing, gutter cleaning, and pruning the hedges could very soon include tick roving. I'm Kelly Libby.
Coming up, we're going to take a closer look at prison gangs, the brutal but effective custodians of order and governance behind bars. That's when Word of Mouth continues after a short break. Stay with us.